Okay. Well, we're looking tonight back into our subject, avoiding tragedy. I guess it's sort of like we're living in the age of tragedy. I mean, there's just one crazy thing after another, stuff going on. Especially, you know, Jesus said, in the world there's tribulation, but he's overcome the world. And it's one of the things is in life, there's enough things that come along naturally in life that we have to deal with without creating more problems. And last week we were dealing over the subject and what looked at the book of Proverbs in the first chapter and what it said about wisdom. And we found out that what happens when you don't listen to wisdom. It wasn't really a good outcome if you didn't. It talked about the fact that if you don't follow wisdom, wisdom will mock you when things go wrong. One of the things at the end of that chapter, I'm just going to start to read. I'm going to read the last two scriptures there in Proverbs. The first chapter, verse 32 and 33 says this, "For the turning of the way of the simple will slay them." And that word turning away there, actually, it literally means a waywardness. The waywardness of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And it says, but whoever listens to me, and this is speaking of wisdom, will dwell safely. And that word safely means securely. It means to be in safety, confident, in peace, or it can mean the idea of trustingly, and will be secure without fear. That word there, secure, literally means to be at ease. In other words, and the idea of be at peace, boy, and that would be, I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd like to have that today, to be at peace. Jesus, when he made the statement concerning and dealing with the end times, he talked about men's hearts, which is their spirit, failing them from the expectation of the things which are coming on the earth. That's why you want to follow wisdom, because we're dealing in the areas of fear. Fear will cause the human spirit to fail. And so you don't want to allow fear to get into your heart. You don't want to allow that to happen. Like today, there's so much things pushed fear, fear-driven things all the time. And people running around talking about it and saying it. This is one of the things Christians need to be very careful, any human being, because many things are being said and people get all upset about it. They go around repeating the things that these people are saying. People need to stop doing that. Because as we find, we're going to go on into this study and talk about the words getting into your heart. Jesus used a parable as words being seed, as the word of God. And see, people say the word of God seed. Well, I just want to tell you this: every word is a seed, not just the word of God. Every word's a seed, whether good or bad, and that seed can be planted in your heart, whether good or bad. And so, continually saying wrong things. It sets a terrible atmosphere. And people need to be very careful about that. That doesn't mean we can't deal with things that are wrong or things that happen. But Charles Capp said this, which is a very wise statement. He said, "The spirit of man is designed to produce or bring to you the very thing that you speak out of your mouth." That's what it's designed to do. He said, "It is designed to bring into manifestation the things you desire. It is the soil of the kingdom within you." And see, people need to understand it. When we talk about, really, the kingdom of God has principles that run the kingdom. And the major thing that runs God's kingdom is, first of all, Jesus told, when he talked, the woman with the well of Samaria, he said, God is a spirit. God's looking for those who worship him in spirit and truth. It says God is a spirit. God, the Father, our Father God is a spirit being. He does not have a physical body. He's a spirit. Now that doesn't mean like we talk about spirits in the earth like they're some kind of vapor. He has figure and form. I mean, the Bible tells us about it. In this realm of the spirit. Now right now, if you went to heaven and you saw people who were up there, their bodies ain't there. The people that are there, they're in the spirit. You wouldn't go up there and see some kind of vapor floating around somewhere or something. You'd see the actual figure of a person. They have a figure form, and that figure form is more real than your body is. It's eternal. Your body's not. And so that's what you would see up there. Now, the whole, God established this. The kingdom of God is run and operates through words coming from your spirit. That's how it operates. Words coming from your spirit is what makes things work in the kingdom. So here in the earth, see, people want to, it's like to people talk about, say, well, we don't have, why don't we have the supernatural today and all that. People are saying this or they want things to happen. It is all because of words. People are believing wrong and talking wrong. They want to have something that requires, that they want from the kingdom of God to happen. That can only be brought to pass by believing in your heart, your spirit, and saying those words out of your mouth that are in your spirit. That's how you got saved. You got saved. You didn't get saved by mental thoughts of it. If you didn't speak words that were in your from your heart, you wouldn't have got saved. See, there's people who all the time, you know, they go through this emotionally get saved. They say something, but it's not in their heart. They'll just make sense. It doesn't matter what a person says if it don't come from your heart. The power is in speaking from your heart. That's what brings things to pass. That's why when Jesus told the disciples in Mark 11:23, he said, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. That's the principle of the kingdom. When God created the earth, that's what he did. He spoke words. He's a spirit being. And he spoke words, and his words came to pass. When man was not created like any other. We were not spoken into existence. Just like God was never spoken into existence. God speaks things in us. He's an eternal being. We were created as eternal beings. We have a body which is formed, but we are spirit just like God. God breathed into man, says the breath of life. That word breath is the word Hebrew word for spirit. He breathed in us his spirit. We are not created. We're not like any of the animals. Animals were spoken into existence. Man was made like God is. Man was made eternal beings. So I mean, Christians get, if man was just like the rest of the animals and evoluted, then all that, the whole Bible's a lie. None of it can be true. None of it can, not a thing of it can be true. It can't. It's an impossibility because man is on the same life as, when did man become anything special? Man would be nothing special. If evolution started and moved up everything, you know, if a frog turned into a person, wouldn't the rest of the frogs turn into people too? And I mean, why did it stop? I mean, the whole thing makes zero sense. I mean, it just, and there's no sense to it. But it makes sense to people who don't walk in the light and who are blind. And much of the church world is blind today because much of them are accepting the fact. People put it on that, you know, it's just like people, it irks me when people, back of a car, they'll have the picture of a man and they'll have those little comic things, a picture of man and one of the kids. And then they'll have on there, you know, that they're dogs or their kids or something. It's like, my parents would ever tell me that they liked the dogs just like they liked me. I probably never talked to them again in their life, you know. Say, well then go live with your dog. When you get old, have a good time with the dog. See how he takes care of you. Like a bunch of morons. You don't put, you know, when you put human, and it doesn't, I mean, you get Christians, you drive around and some idiot will have a fish on their car and some stupid thing on their car saying something. And then turn around, why people abort? Well, you love your darling, what do you care people abort? You don't care any more about humans than you do animals. I mean, it's just, we're a nutty world. we're a bunch of insane people. You know? I mean, I like animals, but I mean, when you start putting them on the same level, I mean, we're definitely in a different place. And because when you believe those things, you just diminished yourself. You diminish yourself. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Because you can't look in the Bible, and if the animals become just like you are, you know, you get those things in your heart, it's gonna get you believing some weird things, and you might say you believe the scriptures, but I'll tell you, you won't bring stuff to pass. It won't be happening. See, people need to understand, we have been created like God. Amen. We're unique of any of the creations that God made. There's no creation ever been like this. That was created in the likeness and the image of God. And so, as we were done, we were formed, and God breathed us in His eternal life into us. That's what He breathed into man. So keep that thought in yourself, because your human spirit, especially, we need to know as Christians, I've said these things before, especially being born again. Your human spirit, as a born-again Christian, is the most fertile ground to produce God's Word. That's why you want to protect it. You want to protect your spirit about what you put in it. Because your spirit will try to bring things quickly to pass that are wrong if you put them in there. You don't just throw, it's fertile ground. You put wrong seeds in it, just as you get fertile ground, it'll grow weeds as fast as it'll grow grain. See, people need it. So that's why you want to protect. You want to protect your spirit about what you put in. And the way you put in things in is by words spoken. Words spoken. That's how you put things into your heart. Things get into your spirit by words spoken. You know, we have it in Romans 8 where, you know, why God sent preachers. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Somebody speaks words. Well, and then again, your own self. You speak words. Just like you listen to somebody else speaking words, you can allow those words. You hold the gateway to your heart. God don't. You do. Nobody else holds the gate to your heart. You hold the gate to your heart. You decide what you're going to let into your heart. You decide what you want to believe. Nobody makes you. God don't make you believe things. He will never do that. We decide that. So we decide. Words are spoken. We have to decide those words are true, what we allow into our heart. So we need to be careful in that way. But also, understanding that, especially taking authority for yourself, that you speak, you can put words in your heart. You can put things in your heart that you want to. Well, I think anybody themselves would believe themselves before, you know, anybody else. And that's one thing, is taking the Word of God. It's like if I read the Bible, I'm home alone, I read the Bible, I read it out loud to myself. Amen. I speak those words that I can hear them. I speak them so I hear them. You know, the Bible's not, and study the Bible's not about speed reading to see how much you can read, game, because, you know, you might not put hardly nothing into your heart. If God sent preachers to speak words to get things in your heart, then wouldn't you think that we, in the same manner, should be doing that? They say, you know, remember in school they used to tell you, you weren't even supposed to move your lips when you read. Remember those days? Don't even move your lips. They used to tell, don't, you're just supposed to read and go along and look your eyes, don't move your lips and all that kind of stuff. And most of those tree teachers were insane anyhow. They should have been saying some words. But we say words, so it's a good thing, speaking words. It's one of the things they did, you know, back in the 80s especially, they used to do a lot of it about having confessions. You make confessions of certain things. You say things often. Now, many times, like faith comes by hearing the word, but many times it takes a person time to get word in their spirit. We hear things lots of times in part, because we've heard 47 different other things said another way, and we hear somebody say something's true, it might sound good to us. But one of the things you do is by, the things that you continually say all the time, right or wrong, are going to get in your spirit. They're going to get in your spirit. If you say them a lot over time, and you just keep saying them and saying them a lot, those things will eventually get in your spirit. They'll eventually get there. And you always remember this. Your heart is going to, when it gets in there, your heart's going to want to produce it. And if it ain't right. See, this is where a lot of people have a lot of troubles. I learned that if you're going to get over in the areas and you want to get into the areas of health and healing and stuff, you got to learn to really guard what you say. Because around you, most Christians are talking wrong about health. Most preachers preach wrong about health. So you'll be very careful about what you're letting into your heart, and you got to be careful about your own words. You got to be careful what you say, just because, you know, you might say with the doctor, somebody went to the doctor, and the doctor said this or that about it. The doctor said, well, there's no cure for what you had. That's fine. You might say, well, the doctor said that. But what are you believing about it? Are you believing what the doctor said is right? Or what are you saying? So you have a choice. Most people just walk around and tell everybody what that doctor said. They'll go tell everybody. Then they'll say, pray for me. And what a waste of time that is. Because they'll keep walking around, and their heart's going to try to produce what the doctor said. Their heart's going to try to kill them. Their own spirit's going to try to kill them. See, people say, well, you know, the devil killed them. La, most people don't die from the devil. They die because of their mouth. They set their own heart to work. Now, you need to understand this. The Bible says we live by faith in things. You know, the Bible talks about people who died by faith. I can tell you this. I tell you this straight up. I can set my heart to die, and I'll die. And of course, it'll work. I know the Lord stopped me one time. I'll tell you what, I got over the thing. I understand Paul. I'd like to go be with Christ, which is far better than staying here. I'm not one of those people who want to stay here forever. I don't want to be here forever. I'm not interested in being 100 years old and being here. I have no interest in it. I don't know if I can tolerate the idiots that long. I don't want to lose my salvation being here with these nuts. The part of being with Christ is far better. You go to heaven. There ain't anybody in heaven longing to be in the earth. Right. Not a one. No. They don't miss their families. Oh boy, oh, because this stuff, all this ideas that they have, people have about things about people in heaven, and like they don't even have an idea. They don't want to be here. You know, can you understand? You know, David wasn't even born again, but understood concerning the child that him and Bathsheba had that died. And they asked him why the baby died and he wasn't fasting. And he said, why? He said, that baby is not going to come to me. I'm going to have to go to him. Yeah. I mean, David had a revelation that even most Christians have got. We should have. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. I'll tell you what, we ought to be excited about going to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Can you imagine going, not... I mean, they up there, they didn't have none of this trouble going on up there. Nothing. Peace and joy. Oh, boy. You don't have to try to pray to have it. They are dealing with their dumb flesh. Oh. It's funny, the reasons that most people use that they'd like to stay here on earth are usually the things that are their troubles. That's their problem. That's why they want to stay. It's all about the flesh. Their flesh, they don't realize it's your problem. That's where our fight is. That's what we're dealing with. All the trouble comes. The flesh. So, thank God one day we'll get rid of that. Always know that, learn as a Christian. And that's why the Bible says if you're led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. I always thought it was really interesting because Paul didn't write, those who are led by the Word of God are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. You notice he didn't say that. He said as many as are led by the Spirit. If a person's just led by the Word, they'll be a legalist. That's what they'll be, a legalist. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And people need to see it's important. Just like the Spirit, He lives in your spirit. Life is in your spirit, and that's what you want to learn to follow. But the power of that life is understanding that what's going on in your spirit, you put words in there, you can produce things in this earth. What you want to see is God's Word. You put God's Word in there, you can produce what God's Word says. You can make it happen. So you got to become convinced of that. See, most people, they don't think in that manner. They're thinking, they go to healing. They're waiting for God to heal them. God set the how you do it. You put His words in your spirit, and you say them, and you believe them. Those words will produce that. Your words produce it.
Hallelujah.
And then you have the Holy Spirit. Now, just think, you have the Holy Ghost in there working to help. I mean, you got to work hard to fail. You got to work at it. You know, you really got to miss it. And people don't see that. But see, we have so much teaching that, you know, people like God doesn't really need us and all those kind of things that are said that, you know, strange that people, they think, well, you know, we're just some nice saved sinners and, you know, God's nice enough going to take us to heaven someday and things. And we need to come to the knowledge of the fact that God uses us in this earth. And our spirits and our mouth, if they are not cooperating with His kingdom, we are opposing Him. We oppose His kingdom by not yielding to our spirits. We'll oppose, His words can't bring to pass what He would like to do. His words can't do that. So understand that. You get a hold of that yourself and meditate. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned, you know, from him, and he used to say, you know, we're a spirit being. That's what we are. We have a soul. We have a mind, will, and emotion, and we live in a body. But I'm a spirit being. I am not. See, most people, they see themselves as a flesh and mind. That's most people. And if you talk to most people, and even ministers, they preach it in that direction. You know, people make the biggest deal over the fact the body dying. You know, we put so much care into the body dying, you know, that it's like, I hate to tell you what, it was, if you look up the word, you know, it talks about God took, you know, He took the dirt and He molded it. It comes from a word that was dealing clay. It was like the dust of clay. So God probably walked over to a shelf somewhere and went like that and took the dust and made it. Your body is definitely, probably lint. That's how valuable it is. Your value is you, your spirit. You're like God. And see, think about that. You're like God. When you put yourself just as a flesh, that's what it is. You just lower yourself. Don't do that. Don't lower yourself. You're a spirit being just like God. That's why Satan hates you. He hates humanity. You know why? He's a created being. He was spoken into existence. He was spoken. And you, who are these people? He made these guys like him. What nerve. And really, the church as a whole has not, they preach down on themselves. They view themselves in a really, really low manner. You know, it says in the Psalms, which is a mistranslation, and I don't know, the only thing that I find is people, the reason it is mistranslated is because the Bible, they say it, we were made a little lower than the angels, and that word there is not angel. That word is Elohim. That's the Hebrew word for God. Man was created, it says, a little lower than God. We do not create universes enough, because we understand, our God is the creator of everything that is. We weren't given dominion over everything that is. We were given dominion here in the earth. Our dominion's here. And in this dominion here, anything that belongs to God's kingdom that we have, we can control it and operate it because we're spirit beings and we put God's word in our spirits. We can produce whatever He said we could because of the dominion He gave us. This is where we control, you know. We don't have to worry about some planets way out there where they're going to go and they're going to find, you know, we're going to go into Mars and they're going to find Martians out there and they're going to go up there and live because it's so bad here. They're going to go up to a planet that's 200 some degrees during the daytime, 280 degrees, so they can all fry because you won't be able to live here if it gets 2 degrees hotter. Gets up to 97, we're done. He talks such nonsense. But anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, we'll look here because we want to see, because of this depositing our heart. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, there's a scripture there. This is, you know, really an important scripture to look at. Matthew, the 12th chapter. There's scriptures. We're going to start reading at verse 34. You've all heard these scriptures already before used. Jesus is talking to these Pharisees. They're giving him a hard time. He says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart," now that word heart, that would be your spirit, "out of your spirit, the mouth speaks." The mouth speaking out of it, he called them vipers. And he said, "A man out of the good treasure of his heart," or his spirit, "brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Now this is what, this word treasure used is actually not the word treasure. In the Hebrew, this word is deposit. In other words, what they deposit into your heart is what you're going to get out of your heart. That word is deposit. If you even look in Strong's Concordance, comes from the word deposit. What you deposit in your heart is what you get out. So in other words, them using the word treasure could be very true. In other words, what you think's important, what you think's valuable, is what you put into your spirit. And Jesus is telling them, an evil person, they like evil, they're going to deposit evil in their hearts. Good people like good things. They put good into their hearts, so that's what they get out of their hearts. That's what it produces. It's your heart produces the fruit that's in it. You don't, you know, you see these people doing really evil stuff, and you'll have somebody say, "You know, they're a pretty good person. I know them." Oh, yeah. That there's, yep. Good people always produce evil fruit. And the first one that's going to do that's a Christian. They were a really nice person, you know. No, we produce things. This is what you need to know. When people, especially lots of times, do evil things, and people talk about things like, "Ha, this guy, you know, off the spur of the moment did this or that, or the person did something." That doesn't happen. Things are developed in a human spirit over time. It's like nobody starts off and bang, "Oh, you're just Mr. Faith." It takes time, it takes development. It's the same way with evil, it takes development. And over time, I will guarantee you, a person will say, "Well, they always just seemed all right and everything, and why they did what they did, I will get down." Maybe they weren't saying it to anybody else, but they were talking to themselves, saying things. There was things that they were depositing into their spirit. See, people have to watch. This is one of the things I say, because you see all this negative stuff going on and all this around us, all kind of, you know, people just doing wrong stuff. You get mad about, people sit and read this stuff and talk about it. You say it, and you're hearing yourself say this stuff. People don't realize has so much effect. The Bible says, you know, don't even look at that stuff they're doing in darkness. Don't mess around with that stuff. Don't mess around with that. That stuff will get in you. Be careful listening to this stuff all the time. See, we have too many Christians here over the last with this COVID thing. Man, I mean, they tune into these shows to listen to them on the radio to spend 3 hours a day criticizing and talking about all the problems that are going on. It's like, what on, you know, I don't see how they take it. Number one, I can't see how they can all sit there and listen to hours a day just over and over about listening to these people that so said this, and then they'll, "Oh, this is just awful what they did," and blah, blah, and then they'll, this, it goes on and on, and turn it on tomorrow, and they'll repeat the same thing to you again, and you'll hear 782 times the same thing said, and what happens? That starts to get into you. And after a while, you're hating people. After a while, you find yourself, you let your things get in. People have to be careful about that stuff. I don't believe in freedom of speech like most people do. I mean, most people today need less freedom of speech to save their life. They need less freedom of speech. They're killing themselves, the stuff that they're saying and doing. They're saying and doing. Do you know how many conservative commentators have died in the last couple of years? Main guys in the United States? There's been numbers of them. Gee, they say the Democrats are so bad, but how they die, I'll tell you how they die. You can't spend every day, hours a day, constantly speaking against things all the time and talking all this stuff about bad stuff that everybody does. It's going to get in you. You got to learn to speak life. When I find trouble coming, I learn to speak life to myself. Mm-hmm. See, these are the days you speak life to yourself. You don't go try to listen to some God tell you, speaking some death some other guy did. Speak life. Say praise. Speak life. Say something life. Mm-hmm. See, all this stuff is going on out there. And there's so many people that are afraid. So understand the fact that what you're depositing into your heart, that is your treasure. That's the thing. That deposit in there, the things you find valuable, you put in there. And so always keep God's word as what's valuable to you. Like the Bible says, God's word, it's medicine to us. It's health to all our flesh. So you take the word of God. If you want it, you should be doing that. I mean, if you're more faithful with a doctor and medication, you're missing it. Number one, you should be most faithful in taking the word in every day, the life that's in the word. And you know, not like a lot of people think, well, I'm just, you know, repeating healing scriptures. There's a lot more to life and healing than just reading healing scriptures. I mean, all the word of God's life to you. You need more than just healing scriptures. You need other scriptures too. There's all kinds of other things to learn, but you put into you their life. It says the word's life. Mm-hmm. The word's life itself. The words that God gave us in this book, they're life to us. They all are. Hallelujah. So they're all working me in life. All of them are. Hallelujah. You know, God might lead you to go over and read some other stuff and study some things. That's still working life in you. See, don't get over in a thing and I just have to stay over here at this. No. I've watched this, the most amazing things about, especially seeing people get saved. Over the years, going to meetings, and they ain't even preaching or talking about salvation. Not, they're preaching on something else, and they do an altar call, and loads of people come down to get saved. Why? Because the word of God's life. Mm-hmm. It ministers to people. The Holy Ghost can minister and touch people. We look at the word too mental, from a mental state. God's word's life. And it touches, it does something in people's hearts. It does something. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so always remember that. The word's life. Hallelujah. Now, is the fact that this is why is the value. I said this scripture, but I'm going to read it. Mark 11:23. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Did you see that? Jesus said that we have whatever we say. He didn't say we have whatever we believe. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. See, people are mistaught. They think because you believe something, you will get it. If you're not saying it, you ain't getting it.
Amen.
You get it by saying. In fact, if we look at Mark 11:24, it says when you pray. In other words, you're saying when you're praying. Without saying, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it for you. He didn't say, whatever you believe.
That's right.
Concerning the Father, it's going to work for you. When two agree as touching anything they ask. He didn't say, as two agree as but touching anything they believe. I said, no, that's why the agreement hardly ever works for people. They never ask, they just believe. They just say, yeah, this is what I'm believing. Yeah, I'll believe it too. But they never ask. They never ask. They never fulfill the word. They never ask God for a thing. They just say, I'm believing. See, we have this idea, if I believe something's true, wow, that is really incredible. If you ain't saying it, you can't get saved believing on Jesus. You got to say it. You got to confess him. You got to confess him as Lord. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can't get saved without saying.
Amen.
You can't. The power of the voice. Mm-hmm. I could go on and teach. I have a notes on. But look at the Tower of Babel. How does God stop people from carrying out what they want to do? He changes their language so they can't agree. Their voices can't say the same thing. That's how the devil destroys the church. He brings division in and people begin to say different things. Division cannot exist saying the same thing.
Amen.
can't exist. That's why Paul wrote and said about soda churches, you guys need to believe in the same stuff. You need to be talking and believing the same stuff. You guys need to be, why? Just like the Tower of Babel, God said, those people down there, there's nothing that can keep them from getting what they're doing. There's nothing to stop them. As long as they're allowed to keep doing that, they can do anything in this earth. That's what God said. Now we don't believe that today. We believe that the church world in general, God's in control. God put the gun in our hands. It ain't in His. And we've been shooting ourselves in the foot. That's what He said. So what God steps in and does, He changes the voice of man so they can't agree and they disperse, they get away from each other. He brought division among them. So people are not, they got so over into the vision of the voice, they couldn't hang out with you. It's like today. Today, the devil uses race. The devil brings in race and he divides us over races. Devil's done a great job on this thing. Got people hating each other over Christians, and everybody's fighting and fussing around over something that don't matter at all. Shouldn't make any difference to a Christian anywhere. Who cares? My God, spray paint us all purple or something. I don't know. it's nuts. You know what? And here's the whole thing about race. Because here's what it is. The devil bought in race and culture. Today, the church world, people's culture means more than the Bible. Most people will follow their culture. Christians will follow their culture before they follow the Bible. I don't care about my culture, and I don't care about yours. But if you want to follow a culture, go ahead and follow. I ain't going along. If you like your culture more than Jesus, God gave me a new culture. I had one. I had one. And I got one now that is so better than what I had. Hallelujah. I love this culture because it don't matter about anybody else. Anybody can come and live in this culture. It don't matter who, don't matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. We all get to go to heaven together. And up in heaven, they ain't fussing over none of this stuff. God said He wants His... We're supposed to pray that God's will is done on earth like it is in heaven. You think they're fussing and fighting over there? They care. You think there's different cultures up there with it? Do you think anybody up there even cares about any culture on the earth? They can care less. Hallelujah. But see, I believe we can get the same way. I can get the same way. We don't care. That we just don't care. It just don't make any difference. It doesn't matter, my culture. It doesn't matter. That means nothing. Now, in Europe, you're going to have people because of the way they were growing up, raised. People think different. But if we get into the Word, unity cannot come if we're not believing the same things. If we aren't believing, see, this doesn't matter what I believe if it's not in line with this. It's what's in line with this. And if everybody gets believing what this says, this is what God said, things will work. They'll just work. See, I found the more I can come into the accuracy of the Word of God and believe, the more things happen is what the Word says.
Amen.
I don't have to try to make the Word work. The Word will just work. If you believe it and act upon it, like it says. It's a simple thing. You follow the culture of this Word. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, my citizenship is in heaven. Zion's my city. Hallelujah. Right now, because I'm in a body, I'm stuck in Lebanon. But it is. That's all it is. I am here, but that's it. I'm sorry. I am an alien. You know, when I got saved, it's like crossing the border, you know? That's what I'm like. You know, hey, didn't you become a... When you started, I don't know where you was at in your Christian life, but there's one thing that I knew. I knew when I got saved, I was going to lose the people that were my friends. I knew that. Mm-hmm. See, I knew all this was going to change because... I was going to become different.
Right.
than I was. And I couldn't go along with things. I didn't hate none of those people. I didn't have to tell anybody I wasn't going to hang around them. They packed up. I started talking Jesus, and they were going, man, Gibson is weird. My God. Because I was the guy, man, I was the persecutor. And now I'm following Jesus, me and Paul. And so, and you're walking and doing this. But I really realized that in the earth, we're walking down here, we are different. If you're following the scripture, you're different.
Amen.
You can't flow in the pattern. Anybody that feels happy or content flowing in this earth, I doubt if they're saved. This world system and God's kingdom, they can't flow along together. Mm-hmm. It can't happen. See, that's why you walk on. Don't you marvel every day you run into people, what they talk, what they believe, what they say people are doing? I marvel all the time, you know, just like, shh. But see, we sit here in light. We're this other race. We are a different culture. All Christians are, most don't know it. They're not taught they're a different culture. Everybody thinks we're going to reach people on this earth by reaching their cultures, and you don't. It's God wants to draw them out of their culture and bring them into the kingdom culture. That's what he wants to do.
Hallelujah.
He wants to turn them into his kids.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do.
Amen.
Turn them into his kids.
Amen.
He wants his culture here in this earth. That's his desire. And see, we see all this heartache and all this trouble and stuff going on. See, you can't mix God's kingdom with the culture of the world without bringing tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That brings problems, it's trouble. You can't mix it. You can't do it. See, that's one thing. I think from a standpoint, it was where Christianity has lost the belief in the power of the Word of God and what it will perform and do for people. See, Christians can get walking along in their life. You know, you get saved for a long time. When you first get saved, there's things that are just, it's so new to you, but it's so neat, it's everything else. But you can sort of get used to it if you don't watch it. And after a while, it becomes such a norm to you, you don't pay much attention to it. It becomes so normal. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing is I noticed about the anointing. I can get so used to the anointing on me as sometimes, I mean, it's just operating and running. But I got to stay conscious about the anointing. See, some people, even the anointing comes on and ministers go. After a while, it becomes so normal because it does. You just think, I don't really have to pay attention with it. I don't, you know, it's just what it does. And then next thing you do, you find yourself backslid. You get yourself a little haughty. You think you're the anointing after a while or something. You think, this is me. This is what I am. But see, you can lose the idea of what the anointing does in changing you and how it's changed your life.
Amen.
That you didn't, I didn't change my life.
Hallelujah.
I didn't change. If, you know, the word is not making some kind of religious statement when it says without him you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's true. That's the truth. You never want to lose that simplicity. You never, I remember hearing all the stuff that when I first got born again, they'd say to us, you know, your Christianity's a crutch. I said, and I'd always say to him, yeah, thank God, and it's a good one. I said, I don't have the trouble you do. You got no crutches, and you're falling all the time. I got a crutch, hallelujah. I got something to lean on, man, hallelujah. I lived for 30 years without a crutch. Let me tell you, I had some skinned up knees and lumps on my head. You did. I mean, man, all the junk I went through and all this stuff.
Amen.
And people knock a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, when people think they can live without God, that you know, having God is a crutch. Well, they're going to die one day and they're going to end up in hell without a crutch. They are going to have nothing to lean on. Hallelujah. You know, there's never been a saint that's ever died that lost.
Amen.
Saints never lose. Never lose. You know, I don't care if a saint messed up and did do something stupid and ended up dead. They never lost. They never lost. Saints never lose. God knows how to keep us. He saved us, and the scripture tells us he keeps us. So he knows how to do that. In spite of our stupid, he keeps us. And you get to go on a reward anyhow when you did stupid. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you get to go to heaven. And always, see, we never have to fear about life and death. We don't ever have to fear about that. So I've learned that a long time ago. I'm not afraid of death. I've got over the point, it's like, either leave or die, something. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's something better. Hallelujah. So always keep your mind clear. See, that's where life comes from. You, there's nothing for you to fear. There's nothing for you to be afraid of. There's ever nothing for you to worry about. Hallelujah. You can lay your head down at night. Glory to you. If you miss it, we're so easy. God said, you know, you confess your sin, he's faithful and just, forgive you. I mean, you miss it, you get it straightened out, go to sleep. Don't lay in bed at night worrying about your dumb. You don't have to do none of that. Hallelujah. If the roof falls on you and kills you, you missed it, you didn't fix it, you go to heaven and you never fix a roof again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll never do it. You won't, nobody's remodeling in heaven. Nobody trying to fix anything. Hey, there's gold streets. Who's messing with them? You know, nobody's up there. They're not trying to get potholes, you know, throwing blacktop in those holes. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to perfection. Glory to God. So, it's like Kenneth Hagin's, Jesus told him, he said, we should be asking people, inviting them to go along with us. Amen. People are scared to death of dying. They're fearful. That's what a lot of we're dealing with today. All this COVID thing. All these things that's going on with the mask and everything, it's because people are scared they're going to die. They're scared. And I can understand that. I can understand. Because the ones that are running around generally doing it, if they die, it's trouble for them. They're not Christians. If they die, you know. I mean, we have all these people, you know, over in the border, killing babies and worrying about themselves wearing a mask. I mean, where are they going to be at when they draw their last breath? Without Jesus, you know, masks don't do any good in hell. There ain't no help there. And see these people, what they're fighting with. But it's all based on fear. They're afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep a smile on your face. No matter what happens, you're taken care of. Glory to God. You can't lose. Isn't that nice? You can't lose. You end up in heaven. My words. Hallelujah. Sort of make you want to take up a busload. I just, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we have about, especially, you know, saying the wrong thing. Sort of thing I want to get into. In the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter, this deals with the children of Israel when they came to the land. And when they got to the land, the Lord told them to send into the land of Canaan to send spies in. And so they sent 12 spies in. They sent one from each of the tribes of Israel. They sent in into there. And we have two of those who were Joshua and Caleb. The Bible lists all the ones that went in. And in Numbers, the 13th chapter, tells this story about this. And they were going to spy out the land. Now, in this whole thing, you know, is the land of Canaan. We could go back and look to the land of Canaan, because when God spoke to their forefather, Abraham, and told him about that land, and he said, I'm going to take you to land. And he told him how good the land was. He said, you obey me. And then he told him he was going to bless him and make him a blessing. And then the children of Israel, what happens was through Jacob, they ended up going into Egypt and then coming out. But they were told all the time concerning this land that belonged to them. And this was the land that God was going to give them. This was going to be their land. They're heading over, when they left Egypt, they're heading to this land that is the one that God gave, God has consistently told, he would give them this land that's flowing with milk and honey. This is a wonderful place. We're going there. And he's going to take them to that land. And he even told them, he said that those people there in this land that he would give them, their enemies, couldn't stand, will not be able to stand against him. They're not going to be able to. He's going to take them there. God's continued to tell them what he's going to do. God said in these things and told them, he said, the hornets and stuff are going to drive them out. God said, you know, he was going to have things in the land that were going to work against these people to drive them out for his people. His people are going to take this. This is your land. So, before they get there, God says, this land belongs to you. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I gave it to you. It's yours. This belongs to you. And see, we need to bring this over into today. The Bible tells us things that belong to us. See, you need to understand it. See, Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. It belongs to you. When you preach salvation to people, salvation is not something God is going to give to people. It's something God gave to people. You tell them, it's given. God's given Christ. What do? You receive it. See, that land, they never received it. They didn't receive it. God said it belonged to them, but we find that they got to the land, and in Numbers, in verse 26, and chapter 13, verse 26, it says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them of all, to all the congregation. It said, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And it this is its fruit. Now, in other words, this is a great place. Oh, God was right there. It was good. Hey, well, we're glad he got one thing right, you know. He's God. But anyhow, nevertheless, the people, nevertheless, they should have put the word but there. Because you know what? If anything, I've had people come along to me say, yeah, you know, they'll tell you something and then they're gonna say, they'll tell you what God said and, oh yeah, this is really good, but. And now they're going to give you a good little story of unbelief. Of why it's not going to work. But see, my problem's different than everybody else's. My problem. You just need to understand. But he says, nevertheless, he said, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. It says the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south and the Hittites. And all this goes here and tells where all the Ites are. And so these guys are scared to death of the Ites. That's who they're scared of. So all the Ites are there. It said, Caleb, he got up, verse 30, said he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're able to overcome it. You know, what's the difference? Now, we need to understand this, what's happening here, because we find out Caleb is talking about, look, we can take it. These people are saying we can't take it. They didn't say they couldn't take it. When they got there. Now understand, we're not going to read the whole story. Because in the whole story, we got the true. 10 times God said, you guys, 10 times you disobeyed me. I told you to do that, and you wouldn't do it. 10 times. So, they had a history of disobedience, of not believing the Word of God. These people have for a long time putting words in our, talking contrary to God and not doing, see, God can't perform it. No, God can't do it. No, we can't do that. No, we can't. Now this, in verse 32 says this, and they gave the children of Israel, these guys, a bad report. The word bad there means, is the idea of defaming, it can evil, infamy, slander. That's what they gave. Them talking differently than what God said. This is God's opinion of it. Now, I want you to understand, because you need to understand how things happen. God, why, after 10 times you say, see, well, he did it 10 times. Well, did you ever miss it 10 times? Did God quit on you? No. Well, why? Well, see, we might have messed up at stuff 10 times, but we need to understand this about God dealing with people. When people get to the place where they harden their own heart. You see, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, it starts off and says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And it goes again, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And it says again, Pharaoh. And then finally it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Mm-hmm. Now see, you know, people don't understand this. They get look at the thing and say, well, God did that to him. They go over and read that in the New Testament. It talks about, because Paul makes mention of Pharaoh, and well, you know, God has the right to do certain things. People don't understand what that's all about. Because 99% of ministers don't understand what God's about. God can't force anybody to accept truth. A person, and you need to understand this, and don't preach what a lot of people preach. People can arrive at the point they can't change. You can put things into your heart and put them in there and put them in there. And after a while, your heart will become what the Bible calls carterized with that truth, and you won't leave it for nothing. When you arrive at that point, God will no longer deal with you because He can't deal with you. He'll never draw you again in that area. He can't. You won't listen to it. What's the point? See, we don't like to think those things going on. We never talk about it. We never tell the people the dangers of just keep living in sin, or even Christians to keep living doing things. You get over to where you can't believe after a while. I remember, it's just a sad story. Kenneth Hagin talked about trying to talk to a woman who was dying, and she could see herself going to hell. She knew she was going to hell. But she so, over the years, hardened her heart against God and speaking against God all her life. Her daughter became a Christian, but she spoke against it all the time, and she would speak in vile stuff about preachers and all this stuff, and she came up to the place of death. Brother Hagin said, she couldn't accept. He said she was completely gone. He said it was the saddest thing, and I thought about it. He said, she was unreachable. Why? She had hardened her heart. And so God left it. See, the Bible talks about God turning ones over to a... Why? They get over to the point. They have that mind. He says, okay, have it. You're going to keep it. He ends drawing. See, God ended drawing these people. Do you notice they went out in the wilderness and died? You see, this is why you never want... If anything you want to get stubborn about in your heart, it's about the Word. It's about following God. Get stubborn on that. That's a good one. But people get stuff in themselves, and you can't reach them anymore. You can't reach them. See, sometimes you try to. See, you've heard me tell the testimony about the prophecy I had as a younger Christian when teaching in a church, and I was teaching adult Sunday school class, and they would... Most of the adults, I mean, they just would not accept, you know, they wouldn't accept. These people were spirit-filled, but they would accept the word said. They had their beliefs. And you tell them to them, and then, a prophet came along, came to the church, and he didn't know me, I didn't know him or anything, but God used him to help me, and he said, I see you a teacher, you're sent from God. And he said, yeah, I see you holding a loaf of bread, and you're giving it to people. He said, the ones that throw it back, just take it. He didn't say give it back to them and try again and again. He said give it to the ones who want it. You need to understand, even God cannot force people to eat. If they have decided and said in their hearts, God cannot. See, that set me free because, see, I had always listened to this preaching, you just got to keep trying to reach people. Over time, it's not my job. That's not my job. My job is to feed those who are hungry. Right. Not the guy that don't want to. I'm chasing nobody around. Did you ever see Jesus chase after Barney and Mary? When somebody had come and didn't like it and walk off and would leave, did he? Oh, now hold it. Just a minute. Come on back. Never did it one time. Not one. You can't find. The only place you find it in today's church. Today's church world, that's all they do, is they chase the people that don't want it, and the people who want it get nothing. They don't get a thing. They get little scraps and things. All the money of the church trying to take care of the people who don't want it. They wonder why the church don't work. Well, man, it's starved out. The people want something, they're too weak to do anything. And the people that are causing all the problem, they're the strongest in the bunch. I'm sorry, I don't go along with that. I take care of the sheep. That's my job. The sheep get fed. Amen. Anybody that wants fed, come and send me. Mm-hmm. But I won't chase you to eat. The Lord told me, don't ever do that. He said, people who will not come and listen to you preach. He said, if you go after them and you go, they call, they want you to come. He said, if you go, he said, they're not going to respect the thing you said. He said, they don't respect. He said, if they respected your anointing and the gift I put on you, he said, they'll come and sit down under it. He said, if they don't, amen, don't chase after them.
Amen.
See, they want special church on their time. Special church And you know what? And the church world has been obliging these people for years.
Yep.
Calling it ministry. We're ministering to people. See, what's it produced? Nothing. But it's ministry. I'd rather have two people that follow God than 1,000. You're running around with a rod smacking them on the head trying to get them to go to a direct. I mean, it's nuts. You know how many preachers have nervous breakdowns and breakdowns? Well, they should. Because they got a lot of nerve doing what they're doing. They have all kinds of them. I remember one time, even Raymond did the thing. They were having, had these thing going on one time. I was sitting at one of their meetings and they said, oh, you're about ministering to the ministers who are just, you know, they just get broken in their ministry and say, you know why they are? Because they're not standing in their office. They're letting people drive them. They're doing all these things. They're in sin and nobody will stop and tell them, say, how are you going to minister to them? Tell them, knock it off. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Amen.
If ministry is wearing you out, it's because you ain't in the ministry. That's right. I'm just telling you the truth. No one ever got worn out in the ministry. That has never happened. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. There are people who will try to wear you out. And if you're a fool and let them, I hope they do it to you. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You know, I would never, like our kids, I'd never chase them around the table trying to get them to eat. I mean, you let them starve long enough, they'll come up the table. You don't feed them nothing in between. Ain't no lollipops coming either. You know, nothing in between. You know, I remember our doctor telling us that about, said, don't worry about the kids and eating. He said, you don't give them nothing to eat for a while. He said, they'll come and want to eat. You do that today, that's child abuse. You know, give them the ice cream. Oh my. Hallelujah. It's good meddling though, ain't it? See, one of the why things are all messed up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God's good. No, God will take care of you. But God will never force you into anything. He's not going to do that. I was glad I learned that early, though, with Kenneth Hagin, because he used to say the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to try to make you do something. He don't force you. But people need to know that. Well, if God wants me to have something, I'll have it. No, he won't. He'll never do that. You have to want it. See, we're on the side of authority. We decide if we want it, we can have it. When you decide you want it, you can have it. All you got to do is start saying it out of your heart. Thank God for giving it to me. I have it. Hallelujah. He's given it to me. Not, well, I'm believing someday I'm gonna have that. Someday I'm gonna get that. And then that someday never comes. And you keep saying it. Say, no, hallelujah. He's given it to me. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word to us is life to us now. We don't have to wait for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't want to do what the children of Israel speaking against what God said. Hallelujah. You know, it is natural. There's a natural thing that happens, will happen to all of us. We need to learn to differentiate between fear that comes to the flesh and fear in our hearts. Lots of times Christians aren't afraid in their hearts, they're afraid in their flesh, and they yield to the fear of the flesh. They yield to that. See, that's what the devil will come and taunt you about. Well, what if you do this or you do that? What if this happens? See, when this questioning comes, anything that comes and questions the word, you can guarantee that's not God. God will never put you in a position to question the word is true or not.
That's right.
Amen.
He doesn't. When something starts, well, yeah, but what happens if you stand to believe this and it don't work? He's trying to get you to, oh, the word might not work.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. How about that? The word may not. So that's where people get over. They say, well, that fear will come. But you have to learn. See, this is where learning, I'm glad I learned it early, the difference between what was happening in my spirit and what was happening in my flesh. You have to learn that. See, my heart will always want to go toward God. You're born again, it'll always want to toward God. That's what it wants to go toward. And so you'll find your heart wants to believe God. That's its nature.
Amen.
That's the nature. Your nature of your heart is not to go against. You just take what, just the bond between parents that comes just from a baby being born into a natural, how much more to be a child of God?
Amen.
To have the life of God in you. That's just nature is to drawn toward that. Drawn toward His care and His love for you. And if the Holy Spirit's in you and the love of God shed abroad your heart, it couldn't be your heart going, gee, I wonder if God's word will work. I wonder if Dad will take care of me. I'm wondering. That'd be unnatural. That'd be an unnatural thing. And so you got to learn that. It's on the inside of you. What's going on? Many times Christians don't have a faith problem. Their doubting comes because they're listening to their flesh. And they let their flesh, they start following the reasoning of the flesh. Because the flesh will get you into reasoning. Started just like with Eve, you know. Hey, that tree's looking good over there. God said. You know, do you ever realize that her temptation was the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always heard these preachers. They say, the devil lied to her. The devil didn't lie to her. The devil came and told her, said, God said you can't, no, we can't eat that fruit. He said, yeah, God don't want you because it's going to be like Him. You're going to know good and evil. That's what God told them. If you eat that fruit, you're going to be like me. You're going to know good and evil. He said, so don't eat it. God said, that part you don't want to be like me. Because you can't handle that good and evil part. He didn't lie to him. Told her the truth. He got her over in the flesh and got over in question. Said, ha, you know, it ain't enough that I'm like God. Now I'm going to follow Lucifer. I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to take over now. I'm getting on the throne. I'm going to be God now. I'm going to be just like Him. And you know what? She got to be just like God, knowing good and evil, but she couldn't handle it like God could. She only had dominion on the earth, and she just kicked that under the table, listening to the devil talking through a snake. And then dumb Adam. He don't even need coaching. This stupid moron. He wants lunch. He told her to get lunch ready and she... She said, that tree over there was just easy to get to. Eat this. And he got out his lawn chair underneath one of the trees there and he sat down and, you know, with his... Sitting under the tree there. She brought him the fruit and he ate it. Blew the whole thing up God made. Blew it all up. This is what you see. You ever think, you know, just one commandment can't even keep it. We wanted to eat it, right? You know, that's why God planned to send Jesus before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. His intent, He knew it was going to happen. He knew it was going on. But you realize it was part of His plan of redemption for humanity. The devil didn't understand that. The devil thought in the garden he deceived Eve to start this off. Now, number one, if Adam wouldn't have eaten it, Adam could produce children without the sin nature. Sin nature comes from the seed, not from the womb. That's why God could produce a sinless man in the earth. If a woman could pass the sin nature on, God could have never passed, Jesus could have never been a sinless. The seed is what passed, the man. The man passed on the sin nature. If Adam hadn't gone along, even though what Eve did, what she did, and Adam hadn't, he could have produced children through her without the nature of sin, because he didn't have the nature, and he's the seed. You see, the devil didn't come to him first; he came to Mama first. Come on, honey, it'd be okay. You're sleeping by yourself tonight if you don't. You got the couch, buddy. I ain't cooking. But God had a plan. And our salvation, all because of God's great wisdom of what He did. I mean, from the beginning of creation, God had Satan tripping up and he didn't even know it. He came and if Satan, you know, could go back to where it was the beginning of creation, He had never touched him. But see, he set a date. When he did that, he set a date upon himself when the day will come where he will be put into the lake of fire, because that's what started the whole thing off. That started the whole thing off to run. The plan of God was going to be his final judgment, and sin would be put away forever.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And the day's going to come, and we're going to enjoy the finale, because, you know, there's one thing the Bible tells us and teaches. See, you know, the lake of fire and all that goes on. After that happens, to do heaven and new earth, nobody is going to remember. Nobody's going to have a care about any of that other stuff. You know, you're going to sit there and worry about those people in the lake of fire. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to know justice was done. See, we have a problem today because of our emotional love. We're scared to have justice come. We have mostly emotional love. We don't let the love of God work. You know, as like Ken was teaching, you know, on justice, and we need to be praying for justice.
Yeah.
Do you know when justice comes, a lot of people are going to get kicked in the shins. A lot of people are going to get hurt when justice comes. But people really don't want it. They want everything to work and everything to... You can't have justice without correcting those who are doing evil. And that's everybody that's doing evil, not just some of them. No, don't touch my family. No! Don't touch mine. As long as we're allowed, it's okay for us that evil goes on around certain people, you ain't going to stand and pray and change this if you won't change it. Because your heart's really not in justice. It's not in for God bringing justice. We're afraid if God comes and deals with people, something might happen. We don't believe the good would turn out if God started dealing with people. We're afraid. God's got to come and deal with it. Stuff's got to be dealt with. Or you know what? It'll just get worse and worse and worse, and they will have no chance. They'll have no chance. Understand the judgment of God, other than dealing with the wrath of God, the wrath of God's about killing the wicked. That's what that is. That's the wrath of God. But judgment of God, if you look at the different, because judgment falls in different levels, the judgment about is about turning people. And most of ministers don't understand that, or no, they always look at judgment as just as killing somebody, it's doing some wiping people out. No, it's setting people, setting things in order again. It's bringing people that are messed up, where they're going to have to deal with themselves on it, and bringing people back in line again. If judgment don't come, people never get back in line. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said about Christians weren't judging themselves, because he didn't judge himself. He said, many weak or sick die prematurely. Now, they didn't go off to hell, but they left the earth. So, I mean, judgment wasn't to throw them out the door. But the devil could kill them here in the earth because he wouldn't judge themselves. You know, they didn't lose their salvation. You know, they were Christians and went on to heaven, but they went before. And I'm sure some of them didn't have much reward at all, because you're judged according to what you do in the flesh. And so if you never judged yourself in the flesh and messed around long enough till the devil killed you, and, you know, ended up. But they ended up in heaven. I'm sure none of them are up there grieving. I'm sure they're not whining about, oh, darn, I made it to heaven. How's this turned out bad, man? Somebody do something about this. But see, judging yourself, that's why. Judging is good. Judging brings life. And that's why we shouldn't look at it. Now, I don't want to be around the judgment of the book of Revelation. I don't want to sit in that one. No, that stuff is a bit out there. Hallelujah. So I want to make sure that I'm on the first busload that leaves. So we want to be on that one. But right now, there's no way that there's going to be a move of God without judgment and justice. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. It can't. Because things need to be brought into line so God can move. See, they knew that years ago. There's a number of times I'm reading, and years ago I looked at and studying about revivals. One of the things that they had, they said that in the church world, see, we talk about revival. When we think of revival, we think about a move of God reaching sinners and that stuff. That's not what revival is. Revivals, the world don't get revived. They need to be born. The church gets revived. Revival is the idea, if you study in the Greek and the terminology used, it's like being out of breath. See, right now the church is out of breath. You know, we're on a respirator. The church world, really it is, in a sense. But revival is about bringing breath back to the church again. That's what it is. In other words, the church gets revived. The reviving of the church brings a move of God. Reaching the sinner, you can't reach the sinner without reviving the church, because the church is the vessel that reaches the world. Miracles don't come to revive the church. You know what revives the church? I'm going to say a dirty word. It's dirty. Repentance. I heard like old revivalists used to say, we'd go into church and preach, and they said, you'd go preach in these places, they said sometimes 9 to 12 weeks, I mean every night holding a service. He said, you couldn't get miracles start to go and sinners coming in and things happen. He said, usually till the church would repent and Christians would start getting right with God, then God would begin to move on the sinner. That's a pattern. Look at Israel. Did anything change if Israel stayed like hell? Glory never moved till they would get back on line with God again. They would get in line, God would move. The church is trying to, we want to reach the world without revival. Revival brings back life breathed into the church again. God being able to breathe on us again. That's what it's about. See, Christians need revived. And see, our whole thing is our desire going after God. We have to come to place. I mean, right now, the majority of the church has no desire to chase after God or follow God. They don't have any desire to study the Word. They don't have any desire for nothing. Hey, give me a 20-minute sermon, let me go. You know, any longer than that, I puke on my shoes. Can't take God very long, you know. That's what it is. And see, people talking about, you know, we have a move of God. We have these enormous churches with no life. No life in them at all. They think crowds is a sign of something. Crowds aren't a sign of anything. I can't look in the Bible and find signs of the Holy Spirit or crowds. I don't see that in the Bible. You know, I guess Jesus wasn't anointed the Holy Ghost at the time they all left him. He must have backslidden buzzard. Maybe he needed revived, I guess. I don't know. Hallelujah. So God wants to revive the church. That's one of the big things, is praying for the church, praying for Christianity. God wants to revive the church. Now all the church world is not going to be revived. Never was. In any revival, you never found all the Christians with groups and everything would get revived. But revival will touch probably into every group. It'll touch it. Because there's hungry hearts everywhere. There's people. You can go into the dumbest denominations in the world and you'll find that there's people sitting there still hungry for God. They do want God. They just don't know what to do about it. But I'll tell you what, God will visit them. God will. He'll come visit. God will always, if somebody's hungry, God's going to find them. Like Smith Wigglesworth, he said God will move over 1 million people just to get to one person in faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I've always said this, I've been 1 in 1 million. I've stood already when people say, oh, you know, you just can't do stuff today. So I'm sorry, God comes. He searches me out and does. You use your faith, He'll move over. You get in faith about the littlest thing, God will move over. All those people that say, you can't, we don't have, He'll come visit you. He'll come and do something for you just because you believe. He's just waiting for someone to be in faith. He finds somebody, He pleases Him. And that's what faith does. He's a happy God. And He comes and visits. Hallelujah. It's not hard to get God to visit. You know, maybe you can't believe for some big thing or something, but I'll tell you, find out what you can believe and just believe it. And God will visit you. And if He don't visit you, He's a liar. And He ain't no liar. He'll visit. Hallelujah. Because you pleased Him.
Amen.
You don't have to, we're not in performance. Hallelujah. God likes it when people just believe Him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, just say, God will come visit me. God will come and show up in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He sees my faith. He said, that's my kid out there. And I'd crowd. All them people, I can see my kid. He's right out there. I'm going to go visit them. See, He can see. God never changes. We got a letter from Christopher Lam, who travels. He's a a traveling evangelist in like in Africa and Asia and different things. And he goes to Muslim countries and things. He talked about, you know, people today and talked about the move of God. And he said, they're talking to these prophets and we're going to have this new thing and we're going to have all this. And he said, I don't see that from Scripture. He says, God changes not. He said, God's always been good. He said, God's word will not perform differently next week than it is today. He said, God's word's the same. He said, we go out there and minister the world. Now, Christopher has over 1 million people a year come to Christ through his ministry. And hardly anybody knows him. Because he don't spend all of his money advertising himself. And he isn't fighting everybody to get checks, you know. He's he'll do anything to get a check. God uses him, he has miracles and things. But he said, all these prophecies of people waiting around for a prophecy to say, you know, how good God is. He said, God's always good. He said, you don't need a prophecy. Somebody tell you God is good and God's really going to be good to us. He's going to do these great things. Well, he was going to do that anyhow. He already said that. We don't need to, you know, I'll tell you, these people sitting around waiting for something. They're waiting for a good prophecy for the year. The Bible's full of good that says God changes not. Well, does year to year, does he change? Does he become a different God? You know, God might emphasize certain things cause our stupidity, but it wouldn't cause it wasn't there to begin with. It was already there. He hasn't changed. He's not going to quit and do some, we're going to do this and we ain't going to do that no more. No. Whatever he promised, he'll do for you this year. And if he don't, he would be a liar.
That's right.
And if a prophet said, well, God's going to do it this way, he's going to do it. No, God's going to do it just like the word says. That's what he's going to do. And you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. I'll tell you what, when they roll the dice, you'll win every time. Hallelujah. Because he don't change. You're a winner. Amen. So, you know, follow the glory. Always go back to the word of what God said. He's a God that don't change. Hallelujah. See, you can have revival all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
He's great. Father, we just want to thank you. We're so blessed.
Thank you.
God, we're so blessed. And it's because you're so good. You're so kind and merciful, God. You're revealing your great goodness to us. Hallelujah. I'm just so impressed that we just get to enjoy all this goodness, all this kindness that you worked all, hallelujah, from back from the beginning, Lord God, to bring your blessing to humanity through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, when I look back at on the past and you see what you did with people, but Lord, I am so glad that I live on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection. Lord God, they looked for these days and we were fortunate enough to live in these days. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, that we have the life of God in us, that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. Father, we're so blessed. Hallelujah. And your life is working in us mightily. And Father, I want to thank you that life that we have in us is working through us. And Father God, that life and light in us is shining upon others in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, we're not a hidden candle on a hill somewhere. Lord God, we're a powerful beam of light shining out. Hallelujah. Your glory, Lord God, it's wonderful, it's great. And I want to thank you that same glory that drew men in past years, that same glory will draw people today and in this time. That same glory is working mightily. Your salvation, has it ever changed at all? Lord God, men can do all that they want, but your word says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. I want to thank you that grace is abounding greatly because, Lord God, they're sure trying to show us all the sin all the time. Oh, we got the news media, we got the online stuff to show us all the bad stuff that's going on. So grace must be working powerfully. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, there's more grace than there is sin. Hallelujah. So Lord God, we're going to set ourselves the year to watch the heavenly channel. Hallelujah. We're going to watch the channel that is showing the grace of God. We're going to look into your word and we're going to believe the word and we're going to stand on the word. Hallelujah. And people will see the glory through us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we the church are your channel, hallelujah, that shows your glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.